Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from Matthew 10, several verses from chapter 10. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be known. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than 20 sparrows. When it comes down to it, there's a lot of things in this world to be afraid of. I'm sure we could go down amongst you and we could make a list of all your fears. There are rational fears, as I'm sure there are some irrational ones. There are some silly fears that we have, and there are some fears that go down to the depths of our soul. You may remember those famous words of Franklin Roosevelt way back in the day when the country was under that staggering crisis of during the Great Depression. Those words, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. With those words, he sought to calm the real and understandable fears of the nation. What those words actually mean, I'm really not sure. But today, we hear these words from Jesus. His call to his disciples, quit being afraid. Don't even begin to be afraid. So he's directing those words to his disciples. So what would they have to fear? Those fears would be raised because Jesus is sending them out as sheep in the midst of wolves. He is sending them out to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, later in the Gospel of Matthew, we hear Jesus commanding the apostles and his church, the sent ones, to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. In doing so, Jesus recognized that they would face opposition, just as he faced opposition. He would tell his disciples that he would be betrayed, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Now, the apostles would not face this kind of opposition yet. All that opposition was directed right at Jesus. Their opposition would begin after the day of Pentecost. So Jesus is preparing them. Persecution will come. Be prepared. In the face of opposition and persecution, do not be afraid. And that's important for us to understand that this opposition and this persecution comes because of the proclamation of the gospel. And what is that gospel message, that gospel of the kingdom? Well, that's the message that Jesus proclaimed. The good news of the gospel. The good news that God has entered the world in the person of his only begotten Son to redeem and to restore mankind and all creation. That's the message. Now, who would oppose such a message as that? Well, from the Gospels, we know there were plenty of opposition to that message. There were the elders, the chief priests, scribes, and the Pharisees, and all those who followed them. They opposed him supposedly because Jesus was blaspheming God. But the real reason for those leaders was that they were threatened. Their position was threatened. These leaders were not shepherding the flock of Israel. The apostles, the early church, faced opposition from these same leaders. But as the gospel spread, so did the opposition. For example, Rome. The power of Rome opposed the gospel because Rome had invested themselves in this pantheon of gods. And this Christianity was opposed to that, would undermine that. So they opposed it. Jesus taught his disciples that this opposition would rise because of his name. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. This persecution was not because of politics, ethnicity, nationality, a thirst for power. It would come because of the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Proclaim Jesus as Messiah, God's Son, sent to be the Savior of the world from sin, death, and the power of Satan, and you will find opposition. You will find persecution. But don't be afraid. Don't let that opposition cause you to fear for your life. Jesus tells them, what I have revealed to you about the kingdom of God, the forgiveness of sins, this new life, proclaim from the housetops so that all may hear. Don't be afraid what may happen to you, for you are of more value than even a sparrow. And that's the message for us. Simply, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to confess the name of Jesus. I have to make a little sidebar here. In our text, the very last verse, it translates the word acknowledge, and it's better translated confess. Don't be afraid to confess the name of Jesus. A confession comes from the heart. It flows from faith. What you have heard, what you have come to believe, do not be afraid to make that confession. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is my Lord. Now, much could be said about all the opposition to this confession, that is, to confess Jesus Christ as my Lord. There are all sorts of evil forces in this world that oppose that kind of confession. And you are aware of it. You know about those evil forces in this world. But Jesus' message is for each of us. Don't be afraid of them. Yes, they are powerful. They may cause pain, sorrow, and even death. Sitting here, we don't often realize that there are Christians in this world who daily face martyrdom, death for that simple confession, Jesus Christ is my Lord. But all the evil forces in this world cannot affect our eternal destiny. They only will affect our life in this world. Remember, God's gift is eternal life in the kingdom. And there's no comparison to the two. Eternal life in the kingdom, living in Christ, with Christ, and the alternative? In the face of such opposition, trouble, remember the words of Isaiah. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Trouble may come, but his steadfast love shall not depart from you. And the Lord gives you his word, that word of life, and that word of life is powerful, again from the book of Isaiah. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. That word is the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of Jesus Christ. That news is Jesus Christ is for you. The forgiveness of sins that he earned on the cross is for you. The end of faith is everlasting life with all those gathered saints singing around the throne. This is the feast of victory of our God. That is what God seeks to accomplish in each of you through the blood of the Redeemer. And through that blood, he says, it is finished, it will be accomplished. Now, in the light of full disclosure, there's another form of opposition to the kingdom of God that doesn't come from out there. And this is the opposition that comes from weak, sinful human flesh. Each and every day we battle that sinful human flesh. And it will be that way until the Lord calls us home. That voice of the evil flesh says to each of us, be afraid. Don't say anything that might get you into trouble. You might cause an ugly scene at the family gathering. You might get fired. You might lose your friends. And we confess our sinfulness, the times where we have denied Christ by our silence. But again, remember, there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness even for that sin. We look to Peter. Peter, who denied Jesus on that night, but he was forgiven. So we repent. We repent, confessing our silence, and because of our faith, we receive that free gift of grace in Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid. That word implanted in you in your baptism and nourished and strengthened as you come to the divine service, receive the sacrament. That word will accomplish what God sent that word to do, to bring you to the completion of your salvation in Christ. Don't be afraid. Make the good confession. Saint Peter, the same guy who denied Jesus, writes in his epistle, chapter 3, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your heart honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. And what is that good confession? It could be simply the words, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Or if you want to go into a little more detail, how about using the words of the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene? And if you really want to go into more depth, there's the Catechism, especially the explanation to the Apostles' Creed, very helpful. Don't be afraid to make a confession of the hope that is in you. But even as I say this, I imagine for many of you there may be just a little bit of a knot in your stomach when you hear these words. A little bit of fear. But know that Jesus has the last word. He has overcome the devil, the world, and death itself. Do not be afraid. And then there's the words of Martin Luther in his hymn that we sing so gustily at the time of Reformation. The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth. Amen.